Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends podcast, live robot from a windowless bathroom.
This is Mr. Michael Bean. And on the other end of the interwebs, we have the laughing kitty, Diana Kyler from North Carolina. How you doing, Diana?
Meow!
And over there from the Failed State Project of Detroit, we have Lusander Fiend. Are you there? Can you check in, sir?
Yo, yo, yo. Long time listener, first time caller. Thanks for having me on board.
That's what I say every time I call into Free Talk Live. Well, that's what I used to say for the first 12 times I called in. Now I call in. Now that I've done a show at Porkfest with Ian Freeman tripping on my show, I usually call Free Talk Live and open with, "Hi, Ian, how's your brain?"
This is your brain. This is your brain on the Freedom Fiends at 2:30 in the morning.
Yep. So you may notice, y'all, that I'm a bit stuffed up, and I blame the government.
Why is that, Michael?
Well, I didn't realize this till tonight because I didn't fully unpack one of my bags from Porkfest yet, but the TSA stole my Claritin. And that's so petty, man. It's like, what are they going to do with it? You know, to throw it away? I don't know. But yeah, it was too late for me to go out and get more when I realized I needed it before the show. And I remember packing it in New Hampshire when we left in the morning, and it ain't here.
Does that stuff make you drowsy? Because if you go through TSA and you see a bunch of dopey-looking TSA goons, you might be able to find them.
It doesn't make you drowsy.
Maybe they wanted me to go out and try to buy some Sudafed to replace it so they could put me on a watch list.
Only if you're a chemistry teacher.
The thing that kind of stood out to me was the fact that you said you're still unpacking from Porkfest.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel a lot better about my situation.
What is your situation?
That I'm still unpacking from Porkfest.
That I'm still packing for Porkfest and I'm back.
I'm still unpacking from Porkfest too. I got my laundry that has to be done.
Yeah, I've had a whole day of the government getting in the way of things. Really subtle stuff. One thing is I'm renewing my passport, which is, you know, it's a bunch of paperwork, and it's, oh, here, government, put me in databases and renew your faith in my ability to travel and give me permission. But it's also, this is kind of interesting, there's nowhere in my town to go get a passport photo taken. In L.A. and San Francisco, like every corner, like every drugstore has, you know, whoa, we do passport photos. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going to get it done here. I might have to go to Denver.
Not even at the post office?
No, they never do it. They don't take the pictures at the post office, do they?
No, they do here. Yeah.
Wow.
I got one of my passport pictures taken at Walgreens.
Huh. Oh. Yeah, they have that in San Francisco too. No, man, the post office here is a general store. It's like you go in and you buy your bullets and your sheep feed and get your passports.
Wow.
I'm kidding. There's a post office.
Okay.
But
it's attached to the general store.
Yeah, it is attached to the general store. What else did I – oh, also put the got the new tags for our car, you know, the little plastic things, that stickers you have to put on. And, you know, I usually enjoy that because I kind of have a I guess I've gone so full on, like, no government that even something that's physically enjoyable to me is no longer brings me pleasure. It's I'm dystopic. Dysphoric. But in LA, what I used to do, a friend of mine taught me this, is like, first you take alcohol, rubbing alcohol, and put it on a tissue or something and like clean the dirt off it, off the old one, and then let it dry. And then you put the new one on and push it down really hard. And then you take a razor blade and put about four cuts.
What?
You take a razor blade and put about four cuts in it diagonally in both directions. Because in LA, people steal those things. They peel them off your car and put them on their car. And this is news you can use. If you take a razor blade to them, there's, like, as far as I know, no law against it. And there's certainly, you know, it doesn't make them invalid as far as I know. But it makes it so if someone tries to peel them off, they get like 1/16 of it. But
Does it have an impact?
Well, I've never had one stolen. Does it have an impact in what?
On the license plate readers.
I don't think the readers read the, maybe they read the tag to see if it's up to date. I don't know. People in LA also used to photocopy those. I saw a guy, some hipster dude, his Mexican American hipster dude, standing outside the DMV selling like faked photocopied stickers of those things one time. You know,
there's probably a secret QR code in there that the license plate readers can pick up.
I don't think so.
I would imagine just them getting a picture of your tag, they can run that through the thing and figure out whether you're up to date or not.
Yeah, yeah. But I used to really kind of enjoy the ritual of, like, you know, sitting down in front and in back of the car, in the garage. You know, it's always in the summer here. So, like, I'd open the garage because it's, you know, it was 100 degrees here today. So it's like 110 in the garage. So I'd open the front garage door and then, you know, sit there with my cat, like, putting these on and, you know, alcoholing them off and putting them on and then cutting them up with razor blades. And I didn't even enjoy it today. I was like, ugh, it's just more paperwork, man.
Yeah. I just slapped mine on. I don't do any of that.
Yeah.
Alcohol cleaning and whatnot. Whatever.
Well, I just figured that, you know, they get dirt on them from the road, and if you don't clean them, they might peel off at some point.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
And then I had another little tiny, like, government intrusion today was I finally got info back from the Dave Grohl people, the people that are doing his next documentary about him or about rock or whatever it is. You know, he's making documentaries now and they're pretty good. And they wanted to license some footage from my DVD DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And they had me send them the DVD, and they said that they would, in a month, they would tell me how much of it they were using, and then I could invoice them based on that. And they told me what the rates would be. And it'd been a little over a month. I had it on my calendar, so I wrote them today and asked them. And they said, oh, we used 7 seconds of it, which is kind of funny. I'm thinking, what 7 seconds are they going to use of that? But it's something with Steve Albini, but I don't know what it is. But and they said,
don't spend it all in one place.
Yeah, I know. They said you can invoice us $500. I'm like, oh, cool. All right. And, you know, it was a lot of, like, back and forth and emails, and then I had to print something out and send it to them. And but, you know, it was probably like an hour and a half work for $500 for something I did, you know, in 2002, which is pretty cool. So, but they said I had to fill out a W-9 before they'd pay me. And I haven't filled out a W-9 in like six or like since before I was a libertarian, because I'm still doing business with like the same three companies, like two book companies and one DVD company that I make most of my checks from. And, you know, I filled that out once, like years ago, and they still use that and have all my information. So I had to fill one of these out and mail it to them with the invoice. And I actually read it. I've never read it before. And it's like the third line on it is like, or first line is like, under penalty of perjury and incarceration and fine, you do signify that all these things you put are true. And like, I'm just trying to get paid, yo. Why you got to threaten me? You know, that's kind of how it felt.
Because it's a vulture has to wet its beak.
I know, man. What is that wet its beak from? Is that from The Simpsons where the mafia guy is testifying against the other mafia guys? And he's a junkie. He's like wiping his nose on the stand going like, yeah, I just want to wet my beak.
Actually, it goes back even further than that. It was in The Godfather Part 2 where Don Fenucci tells Vito Corleone that he has to wet his beak on any action that's going on.
Is he the one that ends up lying to Congress and living in an army base?
No. Don Fenucci was in the flashback for the late 1800s. No, early 1900s.
Oh, yeah.
Back when you have young Vito.
With the two shot. The guys walking around in Italy guarding him with the two shotguns. The two old-fashioned shotguns.
No, that's somebody else. This is in New York City.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that wasn't Vito. That was the Godfather as a teenager, I think.
I haven't seen the movies enough to know all that.
Oh, come on. You got to know The Godfather, at least part one and two.
Well, I do. I've seen them a couple of times, but I haven't seen them enough to remember all of those details.
You know what Mr. Burns, or his slave Smithers, or his assistant Smithers, describes his job as? At one point he says it's, light typing and lying to Congress.
Excellent.
Are you tenting your fingers while you're saying that?
But of course.
But of course. So, yeah, let's see. What else did the government do to me today? They threatened me before I got paid. You know, I was just the thing about that, to get that $500, I had to like sign something that threatened me. Like basically I had to get a gun held to my head by signing this piece of paper. And if there's anyone new listening to us, and I know there are, we're on two new stations, explain the gun to the head thing, Lou, please.
Well, all laws are opinions backed up by a gun. And it starts out quite simply. You get a bunch of central planners together and they say, okay, this is what we want done. And if you do not comply, if you do not submit, then we will send our enforcers out there to ensure your compliance and your submission. And it might start off with a couple love letters just reminding you in case you forgot. But eventually it will lead to a goon coming out and he will let you know that in person that if you don't supply or commit, if you don't pull your act together and do what they want, if you don't bend to their will, there will be violence.
Bend over to their will.
Yeah. So men with guns, usually cops, come out and they say this is how it's going to be. And if you don't get with their program, they will put you on the kill or capture list and poof, that's it.
Poof.
The gun in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, you know, a lot of people don't see that. And it's pretty, once you've had it explained to you, it's hard to unsee it. You can never unsee it. And you start to see every law and every traffic sign and every traffic ticket and, you know, everything that shouldn't be illegal that is. You start to see as a gun to your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're not saying there shouldn't be rules. You know, I mean, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit theft, fraud, or aggression. But that's what governments do all day, and they usually do it in the name of enforcing laws against things that have no victim. So we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free and open market where you can purchase things with Dogecoin and Bitcoin and silver.
Such wow.
It is for your safety.
Such wow. Freedom Fiends, such wow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow, 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 meow.
That was the sound of a cat being catapulted. That was horrible. I'm sorry.
Well, she landed on her feet.
Yeah, she landed on her feet on a TSA agent. So yeah, the TSA stole my Claritin. So I'm sniffly and sneezy, and I blame the government.
But Michael, if you don't let the TSA take your Claritin, the terrorists win.
Yeah, because they probably use it for their allergies. All right.
Yeah, going through TSA, it's like going to the casino. Don't take anything you can't afford to lose.
Well, I can afford to lose Claritin, but I wish I'd known I had it stolen. Then I could have bought some more at the store the other day. Oh, well, it's just...
And then you will wound up on a government list.
Yeah, it's just life in America.
Another list.
So you want to talk about stoicism, was it?
Yeah, I would like to talk about that.
What's that? That's a fancy word. Are you one of them intellectual leftists?
Yeah, I reckon.
You're not a leftist. All right, so go ahead. What do you
not
got?
Not really a leftist.
What's going on that little brain of yours, that juicy big little brain of yours?
That enormous, intelligent, like magnificently just blown away brain of mine. Okay.
Yep.
so lately, a lot of the news that I think a lot of us have been talking about, a lot of anarchists and libertarians have been talking about, you know, have to do with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
That has not come up on this show. I'm not opposed to it coming up on this show, yeah. But I just want to point out how the Fiends aren't like all the other shows. And we've barely talked about I think I had Bill Buepert talk about that a little bit, but he spent an hour talking about the plane that was shot down.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not that I want to talk about it. I just want to talk about, you know, that I lately, last couple of days, I've just been feeling very bummed out about things like this, you know, things like the guy in New York. I can't remember his name now. That's terrible. But
Garner.
Yeah. Eric Garner, who died because he was selling cigarettes and he got taken down with a chokehold by the NYPD and he died. And not only just that happening, but the reactions of cops. You know, when they think no one else is listening or watching, you know, the kind of things that they're saying about it. And it bums me out. It really, really does. It makes me upset and frustrated and angry. And it starts to really get to me. Well, I had listened to Bill Buepert the other day on School Sucks Project. And he was talking about Stoicism and basically talking about it in the way that, you know, Stoicism essentially is not wasting emotions on things that you can't do anything about.
Yeah. And I mean, that sounds like, you know, the dictionary definition of Stoicism sounds like you're an uncaring human being in the same way that the dictionary definition of nihilist sounds like, you know, you're suicidal and homicidal. But those are – it's kind of like the word anarchist. Like it's been, you know, co-opted to mean something bad that it's not. And, you know, I am a great believer in trying to not worry about the events of the world that I can't do anything about. That if I do – that's one reason I can't listen to a lot of talk radio, because even when it's true – it just makes my blood boil. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say I stick my head in the sand. I mean, I spend 7 days a week on the radio talking about how the government is horrible, how all governments are horrible. But in some ways, for me, dwelling on individual examples of it too much really, mm-hmm. really harms me. And mm-hmm. there's a million other people doing it anyway, which is why I prefer to just laugh at it. But occasionally we can't. Occasionally we just have to really nail it for what it is.
Yeah. And also, too, it's like if all I'm doing is ruminating and being angry and you know, frustrated and everything about these situations, and it kind of renders me even more impotent in a way, because I get it turns into this downward spiral of, you know, I feel powerless and I can't do anything about it. So I'm just going to sit here and be depressed about it. And it just gets worse and worse. And, you know, so that I think that's where Stoicism comes in, is that, you know, the only way that I really can do anything about it is to, first of all, start with me. You know, I was talking with my boyfriend Christian the other day about, be the change you want to see in the world.
I agree. So, I agree.
Yeah.
And we do have a blog, and it's called, the tagline Freedom Fiends blog is Laughing While Western Civilization Collapses. We'll be back.
Cool.
More laughing at Western civilization as it collapses when we get back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to
torrent Fiends archives.
Do not go to freedomfiends.com
and click on the torrent
link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to
freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link
and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Meow.
So Lou, what's up, yes. Lou? What's up?
Oh, I'm just having a meowing good time over here, bro.
Oh, tell me what's on your mind about tyranny. You had some thoughts during the break.
Well, as you mentioned before, the unicorn chaser is a very good thing. And Diana bummed us all out with her tales of tyranny.
Stop telling the truth. Stop telling us about reality. We can't accept it.
Yeah, of that poor fellow getting killed in New York City for slinging Lucy's. And for those that don't know what a Lucy is, that is an individual cigarette and part of the
That was one of the questions on the fake game show on Dave. What's his name? Dave
Chappelle.
Chappelle. Yeah, they had a fake game show on there called I Know Black People. And they had a bunch of white people as contestants. Like, you know, one was like a lady cop in a black neighborhood, and one was a professor of black studies at NYU. And that was one of the questions is, what's a Lucy?
Yeah. Well, it's not uncommon to be at a bus stop in a downtown urban area, and somebody comes walking up, and they'll say, Lucy, Lucy, Lucy. And they'll pull out a pack, and people will run up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and currently in Detroit, or last time I knew, they were 50 cents a piece.
Wow.
Yeah, 50 cent. But anyway.
50 cent?
Yeah. But what has
That's
come
kind
out
of a bargain.
Yeah. Kind of.
Well, yeah, it's about 35 cents a piece if you purchase
it. Okay, that's true.
Might be up to about 40 now. So anyway, I imagine the Lucy will be up to 75 pretty soon. But anyway, what has come about from this? For those that are familiar with Police One, that is a online journal, forum, chat room, sadism chamber for police officers. And they'll go on and they'll post blog posts and celebrate the human sacrifices that they have made to the god Moloch or the devil Moloch, whatever it is. But anyway, there was an article in the Washington Post, and finally it was written by somebody other than Radley Belko, who is the author of Rise of the Warrior Cop and basically covers the police state stuff. And this woman that wrote it just absolutely tore Police One a new Bloomberg.
Police One, if people don't know, is a site for cops. And you have to be a cop to post on it. You actually have to, like, you know, have your desk sergeant fax in, you know, verification that you're a cop to get an account on there. That's to post. But anybody can read it. And they are getting so much crap from, like, people actually being able to say what they talk about amongst themselves. I'll bet it's a matter of time before Police One, you have to be a cop to read it.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. But if you look at the venom that is spewed out of them, talking about how this guy, it's his fault because he did not submit and comply and just bow his head and put his hands behind his back and wear the bracelets because he just went with the natural human instinct to not be taken captive.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even really fighting. He was just resisting capture.
Yep.
So anyway, this article tears apart the cops that were commenting on there. And there's also one from National Review Online by AJ Delgado, and it's titled, "It's Time for Conservatives to Stop Defending Police."
Good.
Yes.
So you have a lot of this going on, and the backlash is Bill O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly were talking bad about cop block. And then, of course, you have Yahoo News put one out by, I can't remember the guy's name, but it sounded like it was direct from the Soviet Policy Lie Center. Because the commissar of that organization was quoted in there a couple times, and just spewing the regular rhetoric of, oh, it's hate, it's anger, it's anti-government extremism. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but wanting to not get killed by a cop is not being extreme.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's a real disconnect a lot of conservatives have. You know, they hate a lot of laws, but they love the cops, and they love the military, and they especially love the cops because they feel like it keeps them safe from, you know, brown people who play loud music or something.
Yeah, it's not about safety. And Tea Partiers, I know I said this about a month ago, if you hate the government, then you can't love their enforcement wing.
Yeah. So, Diana, did we make you feel better or worse?
Well, what makes me feel better, I guess, is knowing I'm not alone and feeling the way that I feel.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a really good thing. You know, that not only that, but it does seem to be getting a lot more attention than it used to. And I would venture to say that that has a lot to do with cop block.
Huh.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And something else, Ben has talked about this, Ben from BadQuaker.com podcast has talked about this, and Michael has talked about this in his stories of recovery from substance abuse, is not until you hit bottom that right. you can start to enter recovery. Mm-hmm. Or in terms of the state, is not until the state becomes intolerable that people will do anything about it.
Yeah.
And the advancement of the police state, of the state coming to its logical conclusion, is turning people against it. I saw an internet meme today. It was from some pro-cop Facebook page, and it says, "Parents, don't teach your children to fear the police. Don't teach them to run away from us. Teach them if they're in trouble that they should run to us." And of course, I trolled it. Because
of course you did, yeah.
I used to support the police. I used to think they were the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I also used to believe that, hey, if a cop pulls you over, you probably did something wrong. So I would treat people like they were guilty until they were proven guilty.
Yeah.
And I can no longer do that.
Yeah, I used to feel like that too. It's like, well, if you're not breaking any laws and if you're not doing anything wrong, then you shouldn't be worried about it. Well, you know, it's like that's not always the case. People all the time get stuck having to deal with the police when they haven't actually broken any laws. You know,
The police have better things to do than go around harassing innocent people. How many times have you said that?
Has it changed anything?
No, it hasn't. It's a way of deluding oneself. But if the police don't want to be hated, if they don't want people to teach their children to run away from them, then they're going to have to quit being thugs. They're going to have to quit being law and force men and women. They're going to have to quit being cops. They're going to have to become peace officers. They're going to have to provide
protection and security. Is there really a difference? I mean, I've heard that forever, and you know, the only thing I can come down to is some cops are more or less are more unbad than other cops. The thing is, I mean, there are cops who are good people, but really, what it comes down to is, I don't think you can be a good cop and keep your job, because a good cop wouldn't bust people for nanny laws ever. And there are cops that are, you know, not as bad as some cops. There's some cops who like will bust you for any law they can all the time, mm-hmm. and will go above and beyond and like plant something on you even. But, you know, I guess a good cop is one that doesn't plant things on you, that only arrests you for actual nanny laws. You know, I just think that like if a cop... And I'm not saying this out of any disrespect to anyone who is a cop. I'm talking about the whole system. If you're a cop and you don't believe that pot should be illegal and it's still illegal in your state, if you 100% of the time do not arrest someone that you come across that has pot, you probably won't be a cop very long.
Yeah, that's true. The only thing
to stop a bad guy with a badge is a good guy with a badge. Come on, cross the thin blue line.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. Yeah.
If the bad ones are a minority, start taking them down.
Right.
And if your coworkers are going to give you grief over it, if you're going to become a pariah, then what does that say about your coworkers? Yeah.
Well, coworkers will kill cops who do that. I mean, coworkers will go out of their way to make someone's life hell for trying to expose a dirty cop. And like you said, what does that say about the whole thing? And you know, I don't go to this like, the cops are pigs and they're subhuman and they should be dealt with violence like some people who claim to be libertarians. Yeah. I really just go to – I mean, the thing is like in an entrenched system, dealing violently with any single member or group of single members of the entrenched system never, ever ends the system. And if it does, it only leads to it being replaced with an equally bad system. You know, what is it? Nima Vedati says the radicals become the conservatives the day after the mm-hmm. revolution. The only right. way, short of aliens hearing this show and coming down from Alpha Centauri and saving us, short of some savior fantasy, the only thing – I believe that's going to take any dent out of the system is reducing the market for violence, you know, reducing the market for that kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh, we're on the radio again. We're clocking in and we're talking about the government and how bad it is and explaining why it's bad. And it's like, there's nothing else I can do, man. That's all I can do. And I feel proud to do that. And I'm happy to do it. I'm happy you guys helped me do it and we do it together. But it's like, what else can you do? You know, slavery didn't end because of the Civil War. Slavery didn't end because Lincoln wrote some stuff down on paper. Slavery and even after that, like, slavery didn't end, you know, for black people, like, mistreatment of them based on race. I don't even know if it's ended, but it certainly had not ended by the 60s. You know, it was still there, still being treated and killed and, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say they're still being treated like slaves because we're all kind of being treated by slaves, but the war on drugs targets, you know, young black males more than whites, although it's kind of getting a little more equal opportunity where they go after everybody now. But that's why I say Barack Obama's a racist, because he hates young black men because he hasn't ended the war on drugs. And that's why his favorite TV show is The Wire, because it's like every episode is young black men getting, you know, lit up by the police for selling drugs. What say you, Lou?
Well, the racial discrimination or slavery is no longer codified into law, but no, I don't think it's gone away completely. I don't think that's anywhere near where the race baiters and state baiters claim that it is.
Yeah.
Because the state baiters say, oh, we have to have laws to keep people from thinking bad things. And realistically, if you look at how a lot of this resentment comes about, it's a response to different policies.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this more when we come back from this trip to the market.
Nice.
Wimes.
Nice, Lou.
Wimes.
Lou's going to replace me one of these
that
days.
That was good,
completely.
Lou.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squigelps from Death Clocks, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep or sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
And that was Lysander Fiend doing his best imitation of Howard Dean. No relation to me, Michael Dean. Lou, you want to talk about the only ones or something? Was that it?
Yeah. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, everybody. And that's me impersonating Michael Dean, impersonating his unclaimed unrelative, Howard Dean.
Man, ouch.
I wanted to relate a little story.
Yeah.
And a couple weekends ago, we had what's called Practice Fest here in Michigan. And yeah, it's kind of like practice bacon, where you have bacon before breakfast and then you have regular bacon with breakfast. Mm-hmm. Well, Practice Fest is kind of like the rehearsal dinner for a wedding. So we got together. A friend of mine, his parents have a place out in the country. It's way out in the sticks. As a matter of fact, I had no cell phone reception, nothing like that, and no internet. So anyway, we're out there, and we're talking to his parents, and they're asking about, you know, well, how would anarchy be? And it's really cool because they look like the Tea Party types. And I'm explaining about how government is a massive fail, is the department of making everything ungood, and anarchy would be double plus good. But anyway, they said, okay, well, I can understand that, and I'm going to break here. Michael, tell us who the only ones are.
The only ones is a saying made up by my friend David Kadria, who writes the blog, the very popular pro-gun blog called The War on Guns. And if you Google War on Guns, it'll be the first thing that comes up. It's based on a video that went viral on YouTube of a DEA officer who was asked to come in and speak to some school children who were probably 13 or 14, a whole class full of them, maybe 12 or 13, about the dangers of drugs. And he's trying to talk really ghetto and really street to them. And he's like, this is a Glock 40. And he pulls out his sidearm and he says, I'm the only one in this room professional enough to handle a Glock 40. And like in the middle of the next word, he accidentally literally shoots himself in the foot.
I remember that.
Instead of, and you know, to think about this, he said, I'm the only one in this room professional enough. And then he shoots himself in the foot. Then he's limping around. Instead of leaving and going to the hospital, he pulls out a rifle to show the kids the rifle. And they all duck. And like the teacher's yelling, put it away, put it away. And not only, you know, oh, and he said this is an unloaded Glock, I think, too. And not only did he do that, he swept the room with it right before he shot himself. When he pulled it out, he did it in a kind of a sweeping grand gesture. And literally, he pointed that gun at, you know, 5 or 10 kids in that room right before pulling the trigger and shooting himself in the foot. And there are many, you know, that kind of became a meme on the War on Guns blog and also on Sipsy Street Irregulars, which is Mike V's blog, and their friends. Those guys are friends. Together, they broke the Fast and Furious story. The fact that the feds were smuggling guns into Mexico to give to cartels. And the many things have come up since then when either of those guys on their blogs have talked about the only ones, when they talk about police saying they're the only ones that should have guns, or the army saying they're the only ones that should have guns, or anything like that. And it's even become a meme, you know, like almost a joke meme, to where, like, you know, someone says something about regulating bacon and he says they're the only ones who are smart and professional enough to have bacon, and things like that. So that's what the only ones are. And it really is it's indicative of the attitude that most government workers have. They think they are a superior breed, a superior brand, that we are all peons, we're all peasants, they are elated and you know, elevated above us, and we should bow down to their every whim, regardless of how ridiculous, mm-hmm. because somehow a shiny badge grants them special rights.
Yeah.
So after the description of the only ones, the lady asks me, my friend's mother says, okay, I can see where we would be able to get along, but what about the others? The others are the opposite of the only ones. And we'll talk more about that in the second hour. Worms.
Wimes.
Wimes.
Joyzy.
Joyzy Wimes.
Joyzy Wimes.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends, Hour 2. This is Michael W. Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom. No, from a windowless bunker.
Sounds like a locker room.
Yeah, a windowless locker room. And I'm talking with Diana Kyler, the Laughing Kitty, and Lusander Fiend. What are you, the something meerkat?
I am the titanium meerkat.
Thank you. Yeah, we haven't used those in a while, so I kind of forgot them. But we're going to get back to talking more about the only ones.
And the others.
And the others, the only ones. All right, I wanted to talk about podcasting, but we'll talk about the only ones. I want to talk about podcasting because, like, I did this interview 2 weeks ago, and they wanted to talk to me about podcasting. And I ended up, like, they barely talked to me about that and then talked about a bunch of stuff I didn't want to talk about and then talked about something I didn't expect, which was good, and then cut that. And I'm like, ugh. This is why I only like to do media that I control fully. I don't. And then it comes out like 3 weeks out. I'm not, you know, I'm glad the guy does shows and I'm honored to be asked, but I'm like, I'm such a control freak. I want complete control over everything I do. And, you know, man.
You and your control freakiness.
Yeah. I mean, it takes more time to explain and discuss, you know, with someone else about what I want done with something I do or why I like it or don't like it than it takes me to make like 2 hours of media. So this is what I do. This is what I do. I make media and I'm honored and I'll do interviews with people, but you know, I'll be cranky with whatever you do with it. That's just, you should know that up front. Everybody.
You're a curmudgeon.
I'm a curmudgeon and I'll be disappointed with anything that I don't edit. All right. So explain the only ones again, Lou, and then we'll go to the others.
Okay, the only ones in the form of the law enforcement folks is the guy saying, I'm the only one that's professional enough to use this Glock 40 that I'm about to shoot myself in the foot with. But also, when you're talking about human interaction, people tend to stick with the people that they know and that they're familiar with. So they say, well, we're the only ones that could get by with anarchy without having a progressive authoritarian taskmaster, a Soviet-style commissar, yelling at people, telling them where to stand and what to do and what to say and think. So the typical response out of that is,
well, you know, whenever
we could handle it, but what about the others?
Whenever, actually, though, sometimes it's, I think it's subconsciously the other way around. Like when liberals say, no one should have guns or they'll just shoot people. I think it's because those liberals want to shoot people and they probably would if they had guns.
Well, maybe in the case of liberals, because they know that they're all a bunch of flaming idiots.
Some of them are sociopaths.
Hardcore sociopaths.
Same thing with conservatives, though. You know,
I have a really hard time with, you know, I have a lot of liberals in my family, a lot.
I'm sorry.
And no, it's okay. I don't personally feel insulted at all, but like I kind of feel the same way you guys do about liberals in general. But you know, I can't, it's just like, you know, trying to talk to my liberal father or any of my other liberal family members or friends. It's like, you know, I want to find common ground with them, but we disagree so, you know, fundamentally on so many things.
Yeah.
It's hard not to think, oh, you're an idiot.
It's hard for me to, oh, I don't even think they're idiots. I think they're a different species than me. I really do. I mean, yeah. I feel at this point, I wish the TSA hadn't stolen my allergy medicine out of my bag. I really do. I mean, I guess they would say it's my fault for not unpacking for 2 weeks after coming back from a trip. But I'm a busy guy, man. People want to talk to me all the time on the internets, and I don't have time for that, let alone like a private life or, you know, working other than doing this, which
you
I
obviously consented.
I consented by flying, and they stole my stuff. Yeah, they also stole a target, you know, a paper target from the range out of my dad's luggage when he traveled out to see me about a year and a half ago. But yeah, they stole my allergy medicine, and I went to look for it today, and I remember packing it, and it was not in there, and they stole it. I don't know if they threw it away or if they tried to cook meth with it or what they did with it, but those TSA agents, I mean, it might not have been the TSA, it might have been the baggage handlers, but I don't know. I think it's harder for the baggage handlers to get into your luggage than, I don't know. Those people can all do whatever they want with your stuff. You're basically a slave on a slave boat when you're riding on a plane, more comfortable slave boat. So, yeah.
Not only did you consent by flying, but you also consented by not moving to Somalia.
Exactly. Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily say that flying is really all that comfortable anymore.
It's really not.
It used to be kind of awesome.
I mean, it used to. I mean, really now, like now, a first class seat, which is, you know, like as much as a year at most state colleges, you know, for a first class flight. I looked in first class. First class has even gotten smaller, and the slave galley where everybody else is like the slave galley where most people are sitting on a plane is kind of like a Greyhound bus now. And mm-hmm. First class is like coach used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made the seats smaller. They've made everything squished together. They nickel and dime you for everything. We actually paid on the way back. We were so frustrated with flying on the way back. We paid $200 extra to get a little, like 5 more inches of leg room. Cause there's like two or, you know, three or like two rows on a plane that have a little more leg room in coach, mm-hmm. and they sell those for like $100 per hop. So we paid, or $50 per hop per person. So we paid $200 to be able to actually stretch enough to sleep a little bit on the way back.
Now, Michael, if you need more leg room, that means that the airplanes are really, really small.
I know. I'm 5'5", man. If I need more leg, if I have to pay for leg room, I feel sorry for anyone who's tall.
Man, I don't know how somebody who's adult size would handle it.
Adult size.
not fun sized.
Super sized.
Michael's almost a spinner.
Spinner. Ooh, I know what that is. All right, so what are we going to next? Are we the others? So you talked about the only ones. Did we recap that yet well enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've got it. I'm sure the people in Sturgis will get it. And if not, they can go to freedomfiends.com and catch the first hour. But anyway, with the others, a lot of times people have a fear of meeting new people because they don't know them. They're not familiar with them. It's outside their normal comfort zone. But let's take Porkfest as an example. Bill mm-hmm. O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly would be freaking out over all the people with beards there.
Because beards and if you guns have and weed.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, and look like a biker. Oh, my God. But here's the thing. How many real jerkwads did you meet at Porkfest? I mean, how many people did you meet that were not friendly?
None.
Right. I met people that I interacted with them over the internets or something like that, you know, maybe on FaceSpace or something like that, and we're greeting each other with hugs and, hey, how you doing? Oh, it's so great to meet you. And these are people that the only thing that we really have in common is that we're carbon-based life forms and we're friends on FaceBeef. Yeah. Well, also we have the personality type, because obviously we're all ANCAPs or voluntarists, abolitionists, libertarians.
That guy did not.
Whatever.
That guy did not look like a biker. Bill O'Reilly said looked like a biker. He looked like, you know, the bass player in an alternative rock band.
Yeah, which is not a
bad thing. He's not a bad thing. It's just he did not look like a scary biker to me.
No. He looked kind of Amish.
He did. He looked like an Amish biker, and they're not allowed to touch gasoline-powered engines. So they're, you know, Amish bikers ride ponies or horses, draft horses.
But here's the thing: if you look at these people and you judge them by their appearance, you would never talk to them. But they were some of the finest people that you could ever hope to meet. And yeah, there were some people that were just straight up freaky looking.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, those are the kind of people I like.
Right.
I mean, I'm drawn to freaky looking people.
Yeah, but how does humanity get divided? Because if you look at children on a playground, in a sandbox, for example, you get some 2 and 3 and 4 year olds, they don't care about race. No. They don't care about how much money you make. They don't care about how long your daddy's beard is or your mom's.
They want you to love Obama if they're in public school and they're 5 years old, though.
Well, that's why I said 3 and 4 year olds. So maybe it's the public schools that poison people.
Yeah.
The state indoctrination camps run by the Department of Making Everything Ungood.
Double plus ungood.
Triple plus. But
that's the supersized version of government. Triple plus ungood.
Yeah, I work in the city of Detroit.
I'm sorry.
And, yeah. Well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service surviving Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I smuggle pure uncut liberty into there. But I meet people of different races every day. Just the other day, I was at the Chinese restaurant sitting down talking to an older black guy, and we're talking about the way the world works. And he's a bit of a Marxist, but I was able to get through to him somehow because he's read something other than Marx, obviously. But we were having this wonderful conversation, and when everything was all said and done, we parted as friends.
Cool.
Even though we had some minor disagreements.
Cool.
And this is a regular thing. I interact with people that I don't know all the time. It might just be a short conversation. It might just be a good morning as I walk by. But it's not the natural state of human nature to hate each other.
It is in public school. They teach it.
Well, it's conditioning.
Yeah.
So how would life work without the government dividing people and without this horrible religion? You know, I think it would work just fine. There's a quote from Frederick Douglass, and I'm probably going to get partially wrong, but the idea is when you attach a shackle to another man's ankle, don't be surprised when you find the other end attached to your own neck.
You know, speaking of the church of the state, you know, the idea of the government, people worshiping the state, There's a phrase, you know, an anthem, like a national anthem. And actually, anthems, like that style of music, came from the church, like Anglican church music. Yep. So what say you, Diana?
I agree. I've had all kinds of thoughts going through my head.
Go ahead, because we lost Lou, so you get your chance. Oh, he's back.
I'm here.
So Diana's talking. Go ahead, Diana.
Yeah, I actually had I posted something on FaceBeef. Yesterday, I think it was, and it had to do with, you know, why are there wars? It was kind of a photograph of a mom and her child, and the child is asking, you know, why are there wars? And the mom basically saying, well, because, you know, it pays for governments to be in wars all the time.
Yeah.
So, and then I had somebody comment saying, and it was a very religious comment, and it was saying, you know, that we, you know, basically need Jesus to fix all the problems.
We'll be back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Meow, meow.
So Lou, bring us back.
Yo, yo, yo. Freedom Fiends. This episode is 33% fiendier than the regular episode. I'm joined by Mr. Michael W. Dean, whose nose is running and he went to catch it.
I blame the government. They stole my my cold medicine from my luggage when I flew.
Yeah, one man's junk is another man's treasure. You gotta love the TSA. And I'm joined by the laughing kitty, Miss Diana Kyler.
Meow.
So, Diana.
Yeah.
During the break, you were talking about one of your friends who is kind of a hardcore conservative type coming to the realization that the state is a religion. And not only is the state a religion, it's kind of a bit of a death cult.
Yeah, I mean, she still feels like that. That the political process will fix it. I mean, she's still hanging on to that a little bit. Like, she's not quite ready to let it go, but I can tell she's getting closer to letting that go, which is awesome. But
if we vote harder?
Yeah, I think she's starting to realize it doesn't matter. I think she's starting to get it. Yeah.
If we get the right people in charge?
I think she's starting to realize it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there's no such thing as a right person.
With the collapse of the Soviet Union, defenders of socialism said, well, it just wasn't done right. The right people weren't in charge. And they make the same excuses as constitutionalists do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at Practice Fest, I met a guy who grew up in Estonia. So that was the Soviet Union. He first came to America in 1989. And he says, when I came to America, I finally met somebody that believed socialism could work and it was a good thing. This is the first time you'd ever met anybody that thought that.
Oh, wow.
I don't understand how very much communism and socialism has failed over the past 100 years throughout the world. And people are still trying to – they just think if they can get the right mix, you know what? Mm-hmm. It'll work. And the thing that that all statism reminds me of is drug addiction. And there's a thing, there's a thing in N.A., where they talk about, I don't remember the exact wording, but it's something about like altering your people, places, and things to try to make the drug use work. And just no matter where you go, you move to a different city, you never drink or drug alone, you only drink or drug alone, you don't take this drug, you only take that drug. No matter how you try to manage it, if you're an addict, you end up with your life getting worse and the drugs getting more and more out of control. Same thing with alcohol. It's a drug.
And, same thing with statism.
Same thing with statism, man. And it reminds me of heroin addiction in so many ways. And especially in the fact of, like, you can't, you know, if you're an addict and all statists are addicts, you can't use just a little bit. You have to go cold turkey.
Right. Yeah. Complete abstinence from the state.
You can't do limited government use.
Yeah.
Or you can't do limited heroin use, I should say.
And when you go cold turkey, it's going to hurt and get worse for a while probably before it gets better. But it gets better a lot quick, pretty quick, man.
Yeah. But if only we could get back to the Communist Manifesto. But if only we could get back to the Little Red Book. If only we could get back to the Constitution.
Right. It's idolatry is what it is.
It is, man. If you're religious and you worship the state, and most people worship who like the government worship the state without realizing it, they'd be like, oh, I don't worship the state, I worship God. But if you put trust in men with shiny badges and men with, you know, offices in DC to fix the world, you worship the state. And if you worship the state, you're kicking God off the throne. And if you're an atheist who thinks that you're smarter than everybody else because, you know, you use logic to prove there's no God, but you still believe in the state, you're an idiot.
You're also an
idiot too. You're not an atheist. You're a statheist. You're worshiping the God of the state.
Statheist.
You never heard that?
No.
I think Nima Vidati made that up. That's the first place I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. But going back to the Facebook posting that I had, that's basically what my other friend said, you know, kind of to rebut what, you know, of course, this guy, you know, genuinely believes that if we all had Jesus, everything would be okay, right? My other friend rebutted and said, you know, well, most people worship the state like they worship Jesus, even more so. So you know, that was the biggest problem.
Well, I think you only have to look at the history of the Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on the Catholics, but that was the church for a long time. You know, and it supposedly has a direct lineage back to the 12 apostles. I mean, the Catholic Church has done so many horrible things in history that I would say the fact that a priest occasionally molests a young boy, which is horrible, I'd say the church has come a long way. They're not murdering people anymore much.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker, and I'm dealing with people. No, I'm talking. I'm not dealing with them. I like them. I'm dealing with people trying to email me or write me on Facebook. I'm like, no, I'm doing a show, man. Don't ask me questions. We don't take calls. We don't take emails. That's how I got off the face beefs. You're all good, and I like your attention, but I'm a curmudgeon, man. Leave me alone. I'm a cat. I'm a cat. See, so Yeah, I'm going to use this picture of the cat sitting on my desk looking like a desk ornament. I don't know what the title's going to be yet. Maybe Liberty Kitties on the blog. So on the Fiend site. So I want to make a clarification. I wasn't bashing Catholics. I was just saying the Catholic Church has a long history, especially in the Middle Ages, of burning and torturing people who didn't believe and killing each other and killing popes and murdering contenders for the Pope and all sorts of twisted stuff. So what I was trying to say was that's my answer to anyone who says if everyone had Jesus in their heart, the world would be a great place, because those people all had Jesus in their heart.
And I don't know about that.
Well, you're a Catholic, Diana. What say you?
Well, I used to be a Catholic.
But you're not one of these like recovering Catholics who's like, you know, an agnostic now. You're a Christian, right?
Yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't know. I mean, I'd say that the definition of somebody having a relationship with Jesus, where they have, like, you know, Jesus in their heart, so to speak, they wouldn't be terribly inclined to do like evil things like that.
Well,
about power.
I believe that, but I can't believe how many Christians want the U.S. to be at war with the Middle East, not with individuals in the Middle East, but, like, you know, I can't count the number of times I've heard a Christian say, you know, bomb the Middle East and let God sort them out, or bomb them back to the Stone Age, or, you know, first of all, the problem with that is, you know, or nuke them. You know, if you nuke them, you're going to get rid of Israel, which Christians don't want to do generally. But
I'm not that kind of Christian. So I don't want to say that they're not Christians, but
I just say
it's not a very Christian thing to say.
Who would Jesus bomb? That's what I say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he would bomb the others, the people that they don't know.
Yeah. And that's not what Jesus would do, but a lot of that's done in the name of God on all sides from all religions. Yeah. So that's my clarification. I wasn't bashing the church or individual Catholics. I was just saying, I don't know that just having religion in your heart is the answer. I think that combined with the non-aggression principle, which is, you know, basically the golden rule. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You know, do not initiate aggression. Do not commit aggression for, you know, force, threat, theft, fraud, or aggression. And that is pretty much the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you.
Right. And that's pretty much the case for, I think, pretty much every faith. The ideal is to abide by that.
That idea is probably in every faith except Satanism. But it's those, the golden rule, you know, from the Old Testament is in, you know, Jews, Christians, and Islam, and Muslims follow that. And yes, if it blows your mind for me to say this, Muslims do follow the Old and New Testament, as well as the Quran. And so there.
Do you know another reason why the state is a religion of its own?
Why?
Because they offer messiahs, but instead of a single messiah, you get a bunch of new messiahs every 2, 4, and 6 years.
Yeah, and nothing changes though.
Speaking of all these messiahs and religion and government, so the dark side of the force, because the force is a religion, it turns out that Darth Vader is polling higher than all the potential 2016 presidential candidates.
Well,
so there's Rand Paul / Anakin Skywalker, the chosen one. Sorry, bro.
Well, a funny thing about this is I read this statistic to my wife today, and she thought by Darth Vader, she thought I meant Dick Cheney, because that's that's a nickname for him.
No, and not the white Darth Vader, the black one.
And then she went on to tell me how a bunch of liberal lawyers in Wyoming are upset because Dick Cheney is giving the keynote speech at the Wyoming Bar Association meeting this year, or convention. I would say that he, you know, regardless of your politics, I mean, Dick Cheney's a sociopath. I would say he should be speaking at that meeting because he is arguably the most successful attorney to ever come out of Wyoming, even more so than Jerry Spence. Jerry Spence is an attorney who almost never loses and has become very rich for being kind of a maverick cowboy attorney for the past 60 years. But, you know, Dick Cheney dwarfs that. Dick Cheney owned armies and commanded wars and murdered tyrants and became a tyrant. And, you know, he was a kingmaker. Jerry Spence is just a very, very rich attorney.
You know, going back to this list of candidates, I noticed that they have Barack Obama on the list. And he's not really a potential 2016 candidate, I don't think.
Well, I think every president since Nixon, there's been a rumor that the two-term current president is going to declare martial law and suspend elections. Yeah. You know, I think the closest anyone's come to doing that was Michael Bloomberg in New York City, who basically, you know, got the law changed so he could do 3 terms instead of 2.
Yeah. Emperor Palpatine actually rates higher than Barack Obama.
I don't know what that is.
And Hillary Clinton and Boba Fett are nearly tied with each other. Now, if you really want to know if your career is dead, if you are John Boehner, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, or Congress in general, you are all less popular than, drumroll please, Jar Jar Binks.
The most hated Star Wars character ever. Yeah, you know, the Freedom Fiends used to have a promo. There was a little excerpt of a show from Nima and I from early on, and it was me saying that that I thought that the flu had a higher rating than Congress, because at the time Congress's rating was like 12%. And I think it's like 6% now. This was a few years ago, but you know, my supposition was, well, you know, Congress's rating is 12%. I'll bet the flu's rating is 13%, because a lot of people, when they get the flu, they get to stay home and get paid to, you know, lie in bed and drink codeine cough syrup.
Yeah, but Jar Jar Binks is like cilantro. He ruins everything.
I like cilantro. I like it too. Yeah.
I heard that joke the other day. I'm neither pro cilantro or anti cilantro. So to the cilantro,
you're part of the cilantro industrial complex.
Okay, Jar Jar is like government. He makes everything worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wrote in my book $30 Film School in 2001. That when I first started making films and editing on a computer, the first thing I did was got like a bootleg version of the Star Wars movie that has Jar Jar Binks in it and imported it into the computer, like really low res, like 240 by 360 or something, because that's all my computer could handle. And I imported the whole movie, and all I did, the first thing I ever edited, was just chopping out every scene with Jar Jar Binks. And that movie is better and works without him.
You know, I've heard about a lot of people doing that. I'm not sure if they've been releasing those videos, the Jar Jar Binksless videos. But
well, this was before YouTube, so they probably got the idea from my book, because that book has sold about 60,000 copies at last count, last royalty statement I got. And a lot of filmmakers and just, you know, YouTube filmmakers read that book. So maybe.
You know, it is amazing to see the number of people there below Emperor Palpatine, Paul Ryan, Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Cuomo, Ted Cruz, Scott Walker. Rand Paul is right behind Mike Huckabee, but he looks to be about half of Boba Fett's approval rating. Darth Vader beats Boba Fett and the rest of them. And it looks like Luke Skywalker and Han Solo are tied, and Yoda comes in slightly behind. That must be ageist, because he's like 900 years old. So he's being discriminated against because of his age.
Yeah, I don't know about Luke Skywalker, because I could see him being tempted by the dark side.
Actually, I think in the future episodes he is.
Yeah. And Yoda, on the other hand, would be like Jesus.
I think when Luke is tempted by the dark side, when he's up on the cross and the dark side, Darth Maul, whatever it is, comes along and says, "Hey, I can offer you all these kingdoms. They can be yours."
That's the devil.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker takes it. When Jar Jar Binks tempts him with all the kingdoms, with the Imperial Senate.
You're so full of it. You had me going there for a second.
Well, actually, I do believe that he does turn to the dark side.
In the upcoming movie, the J.J. Abrams version?
It's one of the other three in the series. I don't really know. I haven't read all the stuff. I'm not like the Star Wars geek type. So, oh, great. Now I've just offended nerds too. So, God, we're offending everybody here.
There's a difference between nerds and geeks. There was actually an article that came out recently about that. There's a whole big study done on it.
Well, what's the difference? Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, geeks like Star Wars. Nerds like analytics.
I like Star Trek, the original 70s show.
That's a geek. There you go.
Okay, so you're a fan of the Empire.
I didn't know better.
Yes, Star Wars is about the rebels. Star Trek is about the Empire.
That was back when I was trying to capture drug users with my Boy Scout penknife and march them to the police. Remember that?
Ugh.
I told that story the other day. I remember this recently.
I heard it.
I was like 10, I was in the park by myself, and this teenage boy said, "Hey, kid, you want to see something?" And no, this wasn't dirty. It was like he pulled out a bag of marijuana and showed it to me and said, "This is grass, kid." Grass. That's what they called it back then. Yeah, this is grass.
Reefer.
He did not offer me any. He was just like trying to freak out a little kid, I think. And, you know, I just like said, "Oh," and walked away. And I really, like, literally, the only thought through my head was, I wish I'd brought my Boy Scout penknife, because then I could capture him and march him to the police station. Man,
his gummy shrooms.
I was a statist. That's what public school will do to you. This is even before D.A.R.E., man. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market. Oh, there was a cute girl whose dad was a narc, though. I was probably trying to impress her.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Boof. Face boof. All right. So we got a thing here called like the 10 types of crazy libertarians or something. What is it, Lou? And where's it from for this last segment? We're not going to go all the way through it, but we'll try.
This is on DL Magazine, and it's called The 10 Levels of Libertarian Crazy.
And this is written by a woman who claims to be libertarian. She probably is in some way or another. And she's from New Hampshire, not a free stater. She says, I was born here and grew up here and watched them as they came in. So go ahead and go through this list.
Okay, we have the Ayn Rand Heinlein reader. We have Students for Liberty member, donor, or supporter. We have the Libertarian Party member, which is my personal favorite to make fun of. We have the gold bug or the Bitcoiner.
See, I don't, those aren't always the same people, but go on.
Right. You have the Liberty blogger or YouTuber, the Libertarian namer, the troll. That's my personal favorite. That would be me. The militant anarchist activist and the free stater.
And the Alex Jones fans. And the Alex Jones
fans. Oh, yeah, and Alex Jones fans. That's right. All right,
so let's go through these. What's the first one?
Ayn Rand Heinlein reader.
Yawn.
I, you know what? I really don't have a whole lot of use for them. And I find Heinlein kind of interesting. I don't think Ayn Rand was a particularly good writer. I mean, she had some good ideas, but
I can't read her books. Yeah, she was just kind of the first to really like become popular with something like that. She just reminds me of Mr. Burns on The Simpsons.
Looks kind of like him,
too. Yeah, looks kind of like him, too.
But all the, right. But the LP member.
Libertarian Party member, yeah.
Yeah, is there anybody that is more invested in hopelessness than an LP member?
I find it kind of ironic because aren't you running for office as Lieutenant Governor of Michigan in the Libertarian Party right now?
Actually, no. It's Vice Senator. A friend of mine.
Senator of Vice?
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine is running for the U.S. Senate from Michigan. And he says, hey, I'll make you my vice senator because that's part of the Libertarian Party platform of expanding government and creating new positions. So I will be in charge of vice. He told me that my particular areas of responsibility will be hookers and drugs. So I have to learn about drugs. Huh.
I think you should make your platform that if elected, your first act will be to dissolve your post and then try to dissolve the Libertarian Party. That would be the Libertarian thing to do, really.
Nah, it probably would. But what does it say about the LP member here? It says, oh, they'll be sure to remind you that your vote is your own. So waste it however you see fit. That there's no difference between Obama and Bush and that third party is the way to freedom because if you go outside of the two main choices for progressive authoritarian sociopath that wants to rule your life, that's how you get freedom.
Yeah, I agree that there's not much difference between Bush and Obama, but I don't think that entering politics and trying to best Bush and Obama at their own game is the way to get to liberty.
Now, she does give one bit of advice. At the very end, she says, generally, just nod politely. They're nonviolent, just socially awkward.
All right. Number two.
Okay. Well, that was the LP member. Diana, which one do you really like?
The one I guess I can relate to the most would be the I like the libertarian namer. That makes me laugh. It's like people naming their kids like some kind of libertarian themed name. but
or having like voluntarist or freeman as their last or middle name on social networks.
Something like that. One time
I woke up and looked at my email in the morning and I had 5 emails and 4 of them were from friends of mine whose last name is Freeman and none of them are related.
Freeman is the biggest family in New Hampshire.
Yeah. There you go. I like the Bitcoiners. I'm a Bitcoiner, so that's my thing.
It's been a good show, people.
It's been very enjoyable.
Yeah.
You have any closing words of wisdom, either of you?
Don't worry about the others, and you are not the only ones. And of course, as always, the market will provide.
The market will provide. The market will provide.
Wines.
The market will provide.
Wines.
That's how statists look at libertarians. The market will provide. The market will provide.
Well, that's what Republicans always say, but when you try to implement the market, they freak out.
And try to regulate it. Yep. All right. Worms. Give me a worms.
Worms.
Wines.
Worms.
Worms.